Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
This morning's gospel gives us a lesson about gospel etiquette. Emily Post would want us to study up on where to find our fish fork and when to put our napkins on our laps. But Jesus wants us to focus on the etiquette of the soul. The power dynamic in communities and the human longing to claim the top of the hierarchy are not interesting to Jesus. The banquet rules of a seating chart don't appear to be important to him. He's interested in something else. In this story, Jesus chastises the people who rush to get to the highest seat. He reminds them that sitting at a lower place of honor leaves room. It leaves room for them to find their proper place without encountering dishonor or shame. Says Jesus very simply, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I imagine Jesus watching people rushing for the place of honor before the feast begins, trying to outdo each other in their reputation, in their social power, in their scholarship. He probably watches them jockeying with one another for the most important seat. And he probably sees even the people who've done good deeds caring about the public recognition of those good deeds. Everyone wants credit. And Jesus is ashamed for them. Jesus invites the Pharisee and us to see that striving and seeking for public approval is actually killing them. They crave the very thing that is poisoning them. What they envision as their prize becomes their shame. Jesus wants them and us to notice that this competing for public approval wastes our time and distracts us from the true good work itself. That striving eats away at our souls little by little until we're primarily motivated by self-aggrandizement and greed and the pleasure of judging others harshly. These truths which Jesus points out to us are unflattering aspects of our humanity. And before we quickly condemn the Pharisee and move on, it's appropriate for us to sit with the way all human beings are insecure enough and scared enough to seek after order and certainty and public recognition. It's that public recognition that we think will make us feel safe and powerful and popular. Life itself is harsh enough and unpredictable enough to make us crave order and affirmation, sometimes at almost any price. We like to be the best at something and get acknowledged for it. But if we can't be the best, we want to know where we stand in the social hierarchy. If we aren't at the top, we'd like to be second, or maybe third, or fourth, or please let us be 10th. Certainly not the bottom. Definitely not the bottom. Most of us can feel so small in this vast world that we try to shore up our sense of self by being sure that if we aren't at the top, We are far from the bottom. It's all very human and very limited and a little sad. We can't be surprised that we pay very careful attention to the details of our community's pecking order. It can feel as if our lives depend upon it. Of course, Jesus sees that we have it all wrong. Our souls depend upon our ignoring the pecking order, not obsessing about it. Jesus emphatically recommends that we do the opposite of what we crave. He aims us towards the bottom of the social hierarchy and the top of our soulful potential. Be gracious. Be kind. Be willing to step aside, he says. Make room in your heart to sit lower than you think you need to, so that you can find your right place, so that if you are too low, you will be brought up to the place that you are meant to inhabit and not made to feel ashamed. We instinctively know that he is right, but even when we agree with Jesus' wisdom, it can be a very hard thing to practice. A few years ago, a priest friend and I were reflecting on how to live out this gospel passage in modern times. We didn't get invited to a lot of banquets. So we made a pact that instead of taking the lowest seat in banquets, we would take second best when it came to good parking places. Yep, in grocery stores, in malls, in parking garages, we agreed to let the first and best space go during the 40 days of Lent, no matter how inconvenient it would be. We made a pact to be the second best in parking. And I'd like to tell you that this was an easy exercise and that I was great at it, but it wasn't easy or simple. I have to tell you instead that type A personality that I am, it was actually harder than I expected to let the best place go to someone else every time. Sometimes I lost 5 or 10 minutes time off of what I was planning for while I waited to find that next spot. And a few times I did lose my temper. But what I can tell you, and what surprised me, is that I did learn that claiming the second best spot didn't actually make any difference. It didn't make any difference in the quality of time I had with my son or my friends and other family members. It didn't make any difference in terms of the place we were going or the things that we were doing. I learned that parking can seem a lot more important than it really is. And I did learn just a little bit more about Jesus' deep wisdom about the unimportance of banquet seating charts and the power of generosity and kindness, the power of real respect and real relationships. Our epistle this morning says, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." This morning, I invite us to intentionally practice Jesus' advice. Whether we start by foregoing a parking place or holding open a door or allowing a neighbor to get the last delicious little cupcake at coffee hour, let's practice laboring for one another until the wisdom of Jesus that he holds out to us becomes second nature in us. Let mutual love continue. Amen.